Well, how am I doing? I've been off cable for 10 days now. Yesterday was the first time in 14 years I have not watched a college football game on Saturday. You've heard of nicotine? Well, there's cable-teen. You know, but the good news, and I had a productive day, got a lot done yesterday. It was a great day. The good news is we're saving about $200-something dollars a month. It's pretty good. I'm happy today. We have more money to put in the gospel, more money to do things we want to do. And so I just want to encourage you that are dealing with cable teen, you can be free. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. You know, if I had just one message to preach, I know there's some guests here. They may or may not come back, you know, you never know. But, you know, if I had one message to preach, this may be close to it. To preach this message, if I could just give you what, if I had one shot, an hour to speak to you, and this probably would be the message. But Romans 1 has been the foundation verse for our series here on the Gospel of Peace. It says this, for I am not ashamed, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And the gospel is the good news. It is, in 1 Corinthians 15, gives the definition of the gospel in its simplest form. It's the life of Jesus, his sinless life. It's his death where he paid the sacrifice for our sins. Took on him, he took on his body, our sins, our sicknesses, our poverty, all the things that the enemy placed on us in the garden. And he just didn't end there. He descended into hell. He defeated the devil, took back the authority that Adam had given to the enemy. And then he rose on the third day, and we were raised with him. So in each part of those different stages of Jesus' life and ministry, I mean, something was done for us. And it impacts us here today. And so today, we're now in Christ. If you're born again, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, you are now in a position the Bible calls in Christ. It's a revelation that Paul brought to the body of Christ. And so you have an inheritance, you have authority, and you actually now have power over the devil that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. You've been given authority over him in the name of Jesus. And so, and Jesus won that battle over 2,000 years ago. And so part of my right standing, my new position with God, I'm to be ruled by peace. And that is where we're to live our lives every day. And it doesn't matter what's going on. If it's a good day, if it's a bad day, if there's trials, no trials, you know, finances are there, they're not there, you're feeling good. I mean, whatever it is, our position is to be peace. And we're to be ruled by peace and to live in peace. And of course, those in the world that don't know Jesus, I mean, you know, look at some of the celebrities. All that they have in their lives are so messed up. And many of them want to end. You know, so none of that, the fame, the fortune, the stuff, all the stuff we fantasize about, that's not the answer. That does not bring peace. Peace is found in Jesus. And so today, if you're searching, I'm just going to go ahead and just tell you, peace is found in Jesus. And it's the only way to peace. And we need to realize that. And many people don't know that, including church folk. And He wants us to have continual peace, to live there. And then we're actually, not only are we to live in peace, we're to have a ministry of peace. We're not made to go about causing strife. We're not made to go about causing problems and division. We're peacemakers. We take after our Master. And there needs to be this just overwhelming peace on us that we can just walk into chaos and things change because we're there. Not because we're so great, because of the God that's in us. Now let's look at some of these words. Put back up there Romans 1, verse 16. Let's look at some of these words. This word, for I am not ashamed, this word ashamed means to have fear, to be embarrassed, to be humiliated due to your association with a person. Because of your situation, because of your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus, that embarrasses you. You don't want people to know about that. And of course the church has done a lot of damage to itself because we're known as the judging people. We're known as the touchy people. We're known as the easily offended people. So, I mean, I can understand why, you know, we don't want to wear the t-shirt with Jesus on it. But you've got to watch out, but living in this world and trying to please everybody and not offend people, sometimes it can cause you to draw back and even be embarrassed because you're a believer. And your confidence is not there. It also means low spirits, loss of courage, loss of hope, dejected. I mean, the trials of the world and living in this world has so gotten to you, it's caused you to draw back from who you are. So Paul's saying, I am not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not afraid of what the world thinks. I'm not, fearful of them. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And this word gospel means good news, but it means something else because, again, there's various definitions and I don't want to get into all of it, but like that word gospel, you look it up in your Greek concordance and there may be 5-6 words for the word gospel. Whereas we just say one word, the Greek language is a lot richer. They'll have 6 different words. It each has a particular meaning. Now, it all means good news. But this particular word means proclamation. I'm not ashamed of proclaiming the gospel. And that's very interesting. And I was thinking about this, to proclaim something. It not only means that I'm not ashamed to go on the streets today and share my faith, I don't care what they do. I'm not ashamed of that. I know God's with me. He's going to help me. It's not me. I'm not ashamed of that. But I'm not also ashamed to proclaim to myself and to others who I am. And we need to do that. We need to, on a daily basis, proclaim, who am I in Christ? And this power here, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And that word power means manifestation of God's power. So if we proclaim the gospel, woo! If we proclaim the gospel, we actually bring the power of God on the scene. You talk about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, you'll bring God in all that he is, his miracle power, his dynamis power on the scene. So when we go out today, we're not going out in our words trying to persuade anybody. We're just proclaiming the gospel. And because of that, the power of God shows up right there on the streets. But someone's got to proclaim it. And that's why this, well, you know, I don't want to share my faith. That's a lie from the enemy. I was from a group that I was raised in. We didn't talk about our faith. We didn't share our faith because we didn't want to offend anybody. And that's a tactic of the devil to keep you quiet, because someone cannot be saved unless someone shares the gospel to them. So this silent faith, how's that working for you? This being quiet, how's that working for you? It's not producing any fruit. Let's move on. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Y'all excited about church today? You know, this is really, Christianity really is easy. We just make it so complicated. Religion just, you know, the Pharisees added, I've heard different numbers, so I just say this. The Pharisees added 666. That's my number. 666 things to the law. Now, how confusing is that? 10 things. How would 30 be? That's what religion does. It just gets you running through all these things, and it's never enough. And that's why you'll never have peace if you get on that treadmill. And you'll be running on the treadmill, going nowhere. And you're doing, oh man, you're really working. You're getting the sweat going. But you're not getting anywhere. Not producing anything. But let's look at Galatians 3, verse 10. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." Now, this word curse means destruction resulting from judgment. It's judgment without mercy. That meaning you get exactly what you deserve. So you take out someone's eye, they take out your eye. You cut off someone's finger, they cut off your finger. Now people, you know, you cut off their finger, they're going to cut off two of your fingers. That's how people are. God is a little fairer. But, and so you're receiving the judgment of God, getting what you deserve. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And all sin, again, sin is just missing the mark. All sin leads to death. But there's another definition of that word, the wages of sin is death, is the word misery. The wages of sin is misery. That's why God doesn't want you to sin. It's not because he doesn't want you to have fun and laugh. He loves it when you laugh. He just doesn't want your behavior to kill you. Or for you to live your life in misery. And so not only when you sin, you have the misery of that sin and what it caused to people around you and yourself. You have that misery, but then you have the judgment. There's going to be a punishment. So how many know cursed is not a good thing? Can you see that? Being cursed is not a good thing. So as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law." Meaning if you don't do all, and it's not the 666 thing, but if you don't do all the things written under the old covenant, you're going to be cursed. You can't do it. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Are you ready for some good news? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready for some good news? At Good News Church, every once in a while we have to throw in some good news to live up to the name. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the judgment and the misery. Having become a curse for us. For as it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. You want more good news? We can just stop there and that would be good. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, so the gospel has two parts to it. And then this is really important to know. Two parts to it. The first part is, he takes away, because of what Jesus did, he takes away the sin nature. Takes away the sin nature. Going back to the garden, the curse came to man because man opened the door to the devil and all that he is. Poverty, lack, sickness, disease, murder, whatever. Lust. You know, all these different things. Came in because the door was open to Satan. And man bowed its knee to Satan. And Satan became man's lord. And man's nature changed. Because the Bible says that when man disobeyed, that in that day he would die. But he didn't die physically. Where did he die? He died in his spirit. The real you on the inside. And you took on the nature of your father, which is Satan. And so that spirit, the real you on the inside, now has the nature of Satan. And so the nature of Satan is what? To sin. To rebel. To go against God. When you were born again, when you were saved, who's saved today? Raise your hand. When you were saved, that dead spirit that's not alive to God, resurrection power of the Holy Spirit came in and changed your nature, took that sin nature and gave you a righteous nature. And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that righteous nature means you now have right standing with God, the same right standing that Jesus has. And so, when you were not born again, and your spirit was dead to God, your tendency, your natural tendency was to sin, because that's who you are. You are a sinner. But you would do good things because of morals and training and laws. You're still capable of doing good things, but your nature is that of a sinner. Your nature is that of an enemy to God. Your nature is that of in rebellion to God. And so you're even in your and all your willpower and the best you can do, you're still, you know, not going to be walking in the blessings of God. But you can do good things, and good things can happen to you. Seed time and harvest still works. So the first part of the gospel, and this is huge, Jesus came and took the curse upon himself, gave us his righteousness. We call it the great exchange. Doesn't seem fair. And he gave us his righteousness. And so with that, then the judgment, the curse, the judgment has been lifted. And we're no longer under the judgment for sin. And really, and this is the truth, but I mean, this is a process. Really, you don't have to sin anymore. And that thing that you've been struggling with all these years, you're really free from it. Now the devil will tell you, no, it's yours. Your family dealt with it, your grandfather, your father, it's yours, it's in your family. This is what you've been, you know, your cross to bury, this is your trial to carry, this is your trial, this is who you are. But that's a lie. Because you now have the righteous nature, and you can live, and I'm not advocating perfection here, but you can live sinless. And you can live in that power, not by your strength, but in yours, but in his power over sin, and live in continual victory over sin. That is good news. Now the second part, already alluded to it, second part is, so Jesus took our sin nature, he gave us his position, we're now in Christ, he now made us righteous. And then, now let me ask you a question. In talking about where Jesus is now, or where he was in his earthly ministry, do you think he is blessed? I mean, reading the Gospels, I know some of them have read it more and know more about it, but in your understanding of Jesus, do you think he's blessed? Do you think he walked in health and healing? Do you think he walked in provision? Do you think he walked in the power of God in him and through him? But see, this is the problem, is we think that way about him, but then we start thinking about ourselves, and then it kind of changes. But I thought we're in Christ. I thought I was in him. And I thought the Bible said that I'm seated with him in heavenly places, blessed with all spiritual blessings. So you are righteous. You have a right standing with God. And when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. Now let me ask you, do you think God answers Jesus' prayers? Do you think God responds to Jesus' needs? God has always wanted man to be blessed. Going back to the garden, God has always wanted man to walk in abundance. God has always wanted man to walk in health and healing. God has always wanted man to have peace. God has always wanted man to have satisfaction. The devil messed it all up. He brought in a curse. Jesus came to redeem us from the curse. And it doesn't mean that now all of a sudden our lives will be perfect, because the curse is all around us. But it changes the way we now, this is good, we now influence the world more than it influences us. We now change our world more than it changes us. We go about doing good instead of things happening to us. We're no longer the victim, we're the victor. And whatever it is you are going through, if you walk in righteousness and walk in the gospel, victory is the end result. And the secret to the Christian life is living in victory when circumstances tell you different. When you can see it in here, I've never been to heaven, but yet I believe I'm going there. No pain, no sickness. People I know that have gone on, they're there. I believe, but yet I've not seen it. I believe. And then that's where we need to get in these trials and things we're going through, is to believe. So your nature is now righteous. Now, how many know we're not perfect and we still miss it? Who's been perfect since they've been saved? Raise your hand and I will cast out that lying devil. Maybe slap you too while we're at it. You may miss, you will miss it. Some just miss it more than others. You know, Tanya. You looking at me? You may miss it. You will miss it. But that's not who you are. And that's not your tendency. And that's not your nature. Your nature is righteousness. So when you're a sinner, good deeds can't make you righteous. And when you're right, oh, this is good. When you're righteous, sin can't make you a sinner. But the enemy wants to lie to you and beat you up with it and say, see there, you're a sinner. And try to put on you, that's who you are. But that is a lie. He is the master of lies, continually trying to lie to you, get in feelings or what people are saying about me, all of that. But I will say to you today, what does the Word say? What does God say about me? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And these are the things you got, you know, to meditate on and to think on and to declare over ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he made him, him is capitalized, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You're not trying to get to be righteous. You are righteous. Meaning you have a position with the Father, the same position of as Jesus, and you can go boldly to the throne, in Hebrews it says, and if you need mercy, you can get that. If you need grace, you can get that. Whatever you need, you've got a right to belong there in His presence. Even if you've just sinned, even if you just yelled at your wife or you know, done something, some stupid thing over and over, you have a right to be there and you're not going to get burned up, slapped around. You know, I used to, you know, in my office at home, when my kids were young, I used to close the door and I'm in my office studying or whatever, doing business or whatever. And, you know, one of my kids can open that door and walk up there. When they were younger, they don't do it now. But they'd walk in, come up and jump on my lap and push all my papers aside and interrupt me. Now, did I just slap them around and based on whether they're good or bad or, you know? No, I mean, I embraced them. They belong there. We belong with our Father. All righty, let's look at another scripture. Let's see here. How about Philippians 3? Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish. Cable. No. Football. There weren't any laughs on that one initially. We got some strongholds. Next week's going to be on the football stronghold. It's going to be men only. No, wait. Susie, you'll have to come. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. That's why we talk about faith so much. That's why the Bible says the just live by faith. Christianity is all about believing. Believing the impossible. Believing in things we don't see. Believing in things hoped for. Believing what the Word says. Believing what the Holy Spirit says. It's all about believing those things and not believing, which this is fear now, believing the lies of the devil. That's what fear does. The power of righteousness, right standing with God, our position in Christ, comes alive to the person who believes it. You can hear me preaching today, but until you believe it, it's not going to have any power in your life. I call this righteousness consciousness, where you are conscious of the fact that you are righteous. You're aware of it, and you believe it. And you believe in that identity, and that's how you see yourself. What we have awareness of grows in our life. So if you're aware of sin, and we're all raised in that, even religion, if you're aware of that, your mind will be on sin. And it'll have a power in your life. Now, this righteousness, from the day you're born again, if you had understanding, you could go out and raise the dead that day. I mean, we've had people have gotten saved and filled with the Spirit, and within a few days of getting out getting people saved, that's happened. But and this is frustrating for many people, but this is just the way it is. And it's the same thing for your job. If you start a new job today, you can walk in the full authority of that job at that moment, but you don't know what you've got. You've got the title, and you may know about the handbook and what it says, but you grow in your understanding of your position. Buddy, how long have you been on your job?
24 years.
Do you know a little more after 24 years? I'm hoping you're the right answer here, buddy. Do you know a little bit more than you did 24 years ago?
Yes. A lot more.
And you can make a difference because of that knowledge. But there's training, there's lessons to be learned, all kind. You grow in your understanding. And so 24 years later, I can perform or walk in what I have, the benefits. You probably know all the benefits that are there, you know. And so that's a process. And that's why it said back in Romans 1, it said from faith to faith, this righteousness is revealed. It's all there initially, but we grow in our understanding of it. That's why it's good to have a good church. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. This growth process doesn't happen on your own. To me, it happens in community.
Amen.
That's where a lot of people miss it. They get isolated. They get on their own. And when you're isolated, that's where the enemy really beats you up. Now, the church hasn't done a good job because we don't want you in here because of your color. We don't want you in here because of your economic background. We don't want you in here because you don't smell right. And so this is the reputation the church has. Isn't that sad? So we have this amazing gospel, but yet we preach bad news, or maybe we don't necessarily preach it, but we live it. We live in judgment and condemnation. And people today, they don't feel welcome there, so they may even believe in God, but now they're out suffering on their own. They're not growing. Because you need continual, you know, the word disciple, I'm just talking here today, okay? The word disciple comes from the word mathematics. What do you do with, and we hate math, some people, I love math. I'm an ex-accountant. But, you know, with numbers, how did you learn 1 + 1 = 2? Well, you may not have got that the first time, but after the 50th time, hopefully you know 1 + 1 = 2. 2 × 2? 50 × 30? Forget it. Forget it. Just don't even go there. But it's been pounded in you, and so now I can just test you, and it comes out. You don't have to go and pray about it. You don't have to go and fast. 2 + 2. It just comes out of you. And that's what we're happening here. You didn't realize when you're coming to Good News Church, you're in training. Sunday, Wednesday, School for Life, other different meetings. That's why the enemy fights it so much. And of course, the church, again, has done its job. Horrible job. But he fights it so much. Well, so-and-so, they didn't speak to me. Or, you know, they do this and do that. I don't like the new furniture on the stage, you know, all these, you know, a million different reasons to get you not to come, because the enemy knows there's power in that continual training, line upon line, day after day, and you are slowly, your eyes are being opened. We're praying that for you, the eyes of your heart being enlightened, and slowly, and it takes time. I don't understand why with certain people, about the whole timing thing. I mean, I will be preaching a message and, you know, 5 years later, preach it 100 times, and they'll come up to me and say, I finally got it today. What? What? You didn't get that 3 years ago? You want to be in the ministry? You want to be in the full-time ministry? I recommend that you go to patience school. Forget the Bible training. Go to patience school for 5 years. And every day you study patience. And after 5 years, you'll be ready to pastor. Because just when you think they got it, they do something stupid. And I rarely talk about the congregation as sheep because I just don't like some of the analogies, but I'll have to be honest, a lot of it's true. And I include myself in that. I still, after all these years walking with Jesus, I still do stupid things.
Amen.
Ushers, remove this rebellious woman. And take her out in the parking lot and yell at her. Tom just stood up. He's getting ready. Got to stay together, brother. He's running away. Okay. But you grow in this righteousness. And we need each other. But see, you've got to, on a daily basis, go back to the gospel. Go back to the cross. Go back to what Jesus has done. Because here's the deal. This is why we still... this is why we still miss it. Well, there's a lot of reasons. We still miss it because we live in bodies. Your body still wants fried chicken. Your body still wants cable. Sat down the other day to turn the TV on and ready to relax, and nothing showed up on the screen. I just about had a fit. I didn't know what to do. My whole world. What do I have? I don't have anything. I'm speaking to somebody today. But you have the flesh, and you have your mind, your soul, and your emotions. And that mind's got to be washed. It's got to be cleaned. It's got to be transformed and renovated. And renovation's hard work. That demo, I mean, it takes some time. And the enemy's trying to put these thoughts in there, and your Christian brothers and sisters are saying this stuff to you. I mean, it's just... Then there's religion. And that is a whole other message. But then there's religion. And then religion wants you to get back in the deal where you've got to earn God's blessing. Even though you're righteous, now you've got to act perfectly or act righteously. And if I don't, God won't bless me. So you get into performance. And the thing about it, and here's the deal. If you're righteousness by faith, and if you're aware of that, you're growing in that, it'll actually help you perform better. You'll be balanced, much more healthy though. And you'll actually be bearing fruit. But then there's righteousness by works, where I'm trying to earn this position that I already have. I'm trying to earn the blessing that I already have. And the Bible says that leads to sin. Isn't that amazing? That by living in that performance trap actually leads not to holiness, but leads to sin. I was talking to one of the ladies a minister that was here for the meeting last weekend. And we were kind of, and she works with the abused girls. And she's from Utah. And do you want to know, and this is not a slam to any group, do you want to know who she works with the most? Mormon families. Mormon families, which is shocking. Because they talk about living righteous, living right. I mean, they're the model of behavior. But if it's not done by faith, and it's done in yourself, it's going to lead to sin. And so the dirty little secret behind the closed doors, abuse of their kids, is going on in some homes. See how... So you have the flesh, you have your mind, and you have religion. And these are reasons why we still miss it. But I have good news for you, and we're all at different places. I have good news for you. If you'll start on a daily basis, begin just to thank God for the gospel, Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that He's redeemed me. Thank God He paid the price for my sins. Thank God I'm going to heaven. Because we're saved by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And this is something that us that have been in this, we've got to watch out for this, because first of all, when you start doing, you start living a righteous life according to by faith, it produces things. And you start getting praise. But if you start listening to that praise and start thinking that it's me, that's going to lead to sin. Because then you're going to be focused on yourself. So here's a good bit of advice for you that's more mature in this. Listen to the criticism and pray about it. Don't let it get you down. Listen to it and pray about it. But don't listen to the praise. Say thank you, that's nice, but I don't need to have that praise in order to walk in righteousness. The only praise I need is from my Father saying, in you I'm well pleased, and He's already said it. So you're just be grateful. Praising God, thanking, you know, what Jesus has done for me. Have people around me that believe this, and, you know, again, iron sharpens iron. Have church. Go to the Word. I'm wrapping it up right now. I think I am. I was meeting with someone this week, and they were struggling with sin. I mean, this is a seasoned believer, just flat out sin, destroying their family and everything. And it's been happening over years and years and years. And they had started to, you know, God's been dealing with them. I've been working with them. But they had these things. This time I met with this person, wrote down these statements, I am, I am, I am. And what I realized that he was dealing with an identity problem. He didn't know who he was. And he's begin to start coming out of that as he's learning who he is in Christ. And starting in, and again, it's all ends in Christ. But I am righteous. I am holy. I am empowered. My last scripture. Philippians 2, verse 12. And Grace, put it up in the Amplified. Philippians 2, verse 12, Amplified. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust. That's interesting. With serious caution, tenderness of caution, conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Now listen to this. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So there's gratefulness, there's the Word, there's prayer, there's church, but then there's this one which I absolutely love. There's an empowerment from the Holy Spirit to help you live a holy life, to help you walk in this righteousness. And He'll empower you on a daily basis. But it's all about believing, and it's all about willingness. And so tomorrow, I'm just going to declaring over you, tomorrow will be a righteous day. Tomorrow will be a good day. Tomorrow will be a day of peace. Tomorrow, and you could actually start today, but I'm just, sounds better. Tomorrow. I'll break out my Broadway tune.
Little girl.
Huh?
Little girl tune.
don't egg me on. I'm going to sing it if you keep me going here. You want me to sing it? And so praise Him. Thank Him. Get you a scripture. I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with strength. They start getting on you tomorrow, Sean. And if you want to say it, go ahead. But you'd be thinking, I can do this through Christ. I'm infused with strength. Energized. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I am God's favorite. Woo! Woo! It's called a twirl. Try it. Twirl tomorrow. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who you are. That's your identity. And if you mess up tomorrow, which I think everybody's going to be perfect tomorrow. Tony, you're going to be perfect tomorrow. I don't know about Tuesday, but Monday, man. But if you miss it tomorrow, run to Jesus. Don't run from Him. Because He'll be there with open arms and love and empowerment and grace and mercy. And forgiveness. Every head bowed, every eye closed here, please. If you're here today, I mean, what a day to make Jesus the Lord of your life. What a day to commit to Him. I mean, He's got so much good things for you, but you have to open your heart to Him. Romans chapter 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you confess Him as Lord, you will be saved. It's that easy. You don't have to go clean yourself up. You don't have to do it one day. Why not today? Call upon the name of Jesus today. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That means when you die, if you were to die today, you're not going to die today. But if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. As opposed to the other place. But then you are opening yourself up to His blessings, to His peace, to His inheritance. And it's as simple, you just come as you are. So if you're here today and say, yes, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to receive Jesus. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to walk in this eternal life. I want to know God's plan for my life. If that's you, raise your hand and hold it high. Hallelujah. Anyone? Praise God. All right, let's all stand, everybody. Let's just do this. There's some people that are dealing with sickness in the church. Everybody catch hands, please. Let's go ahead and pray for each other. Let's pray for each other and pray for some folks that aren't here today. And you just pray, and you may not know how to pray, so you can just listen. But if you have, pray for that person on the other side of you. Speak a blessing over them. They need your prayers. Father, we pray for each other right now in the name of Jesus. We speak peace right now to our brothers and sisters. We thank You, Lord, that the eyes of their heart are enlightened. They know the hope of their calling, the riches of the inheritance they have. They have a walk fully pleasing to you. Lord, you strengthen them. You give them wisdom. Show them your purpose for their lives. Now, Lord, I speak in the name of Jesus. I speak health and healing to everybody here. I speak health and healing to the folks at Good News Church. Sickness and disease, you've got to go in the name of Jesus. Get. And health and healing to rise up. And there's people here with financial needs. I thank you, Father, by expected or unexpected ways, Lord. Meet that need. I call that need met in the name of Jesus. And I speak to this division that's trying to come in our homes and trying to come in our marriages. I come against you in the name of Jesus. Take your hands off God's property. And I speak reconciliation to our homes. I speak peace to our homes. Expose the lies of the devil. And Lord, for people here that are weary, I speak strength right now. Strength in the name of Jesus. Courage. Do not be afraid. And I speak boldness. Be bold to step out and do what God's telling you to do. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, everyone here, we're life givers. We're life givers. We're filled with God's life, and that flows out of us towards others. We're ministers of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're not timid. We're not afraid. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're bold. We don't do it in condemnation. We don't judge others. We don't get in arguments. But we are people that are bold witnesses, and we speak the truth in love. And so I thank you for the people here today. I declare and speak over you a boldness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's just give Him praise. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise. Give Him praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for redemption today. Thank you for the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I'm free. I'm free. I'm free today. Woo, I'm free. You're free today. Everybody say that. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free in Jesus.